When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome into another edition of the FFSN NFL Draft Preview Show. My name is Jeremy Betts. I'm joined, as always, by Andrew Wilbar to break down everything NFL draft. And right now, we're going to be going into a deep dive of the AFC North teams after free agency, after the first couple waves of free agency, how each team's draft board could be shaping up, and what direction they will go in based on their team needs. Andrew, welcome you in. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing well. The nerves are picking up a little bit as we're getting close to the draft, but I'm ever so excited.
Yes, absolutely. Let's just dive right into this because free agency has been wild. There's been a lot of signings. There's a lot to get to, and we don't want these shows to be forever long. So let's just jump right in, and we're going to start, like we talked about, the AFC North. Obviously, this division was as competitive as any last year in 2023. All four teams vying for playoff spots right up until the very end. Three teams got in. One team made an AFC championship game. There's a lot to dive into here. Let's start with that team that got all the way to the AFC championship. That's the Baltimore Ravens, and they were busy in free agency. They brought back Justin Matabuike on a big-time contract, brought in Derrick Henry. That was probably the biggest news. Nelson Aguilar re-signed, Malik Harrison re-signed. They had a bunch of re-signings here, but kind of addressing two of their needs with Matabuike coming back and then Derrick Henry coming into town. Andrew, how do you see the Ravens attacking the draft early on with some of their remaining team needs?
I'm thinking when you're just looking at some of the things, obviously pre-free agency, things that they hit need. Obviously, you're looking at running back. They brought in Derrick Henry. That's a huge addition for them because the running back class isn't that great. But I think you're looking at edge rusher as a position they could still add something at. I know there's a lot of uncertainty with the guys not named Adafe away, and there's just not as much depth there. And Baltimore's defense is at its best when they have a fresh pass rush. And one guy that stands out to me at the back end of the first round, if available, is a guy very similar to Adafe away, and that's Chop Robinson. Very similar situation from Penn State. Highly athletic, not incredibly productive, but a guy who's shown flashes at times knows. Yeah, I mean, he's got a ton of potential at the NFL level. He's a 3-4 outside linebacker, fits what Baltimore does on defense. I think he is a guy to watch. Christian Braswell, we know the Alabama connection to Baltimore. If they wait until round two, he would be a target in the second round. They decided to go for a bigger guy. I mean, we talked about Leiatu Latu just a couple, maybe a month and a half ago as a potential top 10 pick. And just like that, without really doing anything, his stock has already fallen to mid to late first round. And I think he's a guy who could potentially be available. He's a little bit bigger edge rusher, but Baltimore's not afraid of size. They've had bigger pass rushers before playing in a stand-up position. Lots who can do that. Jared Verse is another guy in there. But I would say the best fit as of right now for me personally would be Chop Robinson. Baltimore has proven time and time again they know how to develop pass rushers. This is a good landing spot for Robinson. He has a high probability of hitting his full ceiling with Baltimore. When you got guys like Madubuike up front, guys that are going to be able to push the pocket from the interior, that takes pressure off those edge guys. But they still need someone else to provide that little spark off the edge.
Yeah, and they could probably also use some help along the offensive line again, and also at wide receiver. They've been prone to taking wide receivers early. Could they do that again?
They could, and this is the draft to do it. I don't even think they need to take one first round. Zay Flowers looked good. They should draft one probably on day two would be my ideal spot for them. I could see them needing someone that has a little bit more physicality on the outside. I think of a guy like Keon Coleman in round two, a guy that would be available if he happens to drop the fire. I mean, you could argue that the Baltimore could take him in round one. And it wouldn't be terrible value. I really wouldn't argue with that selection of Keon Coleman at the back end of round one. But one other spot that I think you're mentioning the offensive line. I think Jordan Morgan is a guy to keep an eye on. Obviously, they're losing Morgan Moses. They need some more help on the right side. I don't think Morgan has quite the length and the ideal prototype to play left tackle in the NFL. And his tape wasn't the most consistent. But if you move him to the right side, I don't think his lack of elite length is as big as liability as it may have been at left tackle. You can even play him inside at guard. There's some flexibility there. If you're looking for a day two guy on the interior, Zach Zinner is a guy I'm a big fan of from Michigan, guy who was injured in that Ohio State game, but so much potential, so much talent, would have been easily the first guard off the board if not for that injury.
Absolutely. I think it's a draft class that suits what the Ravens need. As far as their positions of need, they can definitely find a lot of help in this draft class. Let's move on to the Cleveland Browns, who finished second in the AFC North in 2023 with a surprising 11-6 record. They had good quarterback play down the stretch from their backup, and they made a big move to get in a different backup this year. They brought in Jameis Winston on a one-year deal, and they also were able to re-sign Za'Darius Smith. They're a dynamic second edge rusher that played really well as a bookend to Myles Garrett. 2 years, $23.5 million there. Traded for Jerry Jeudy, brought in Devin Bush on defense. They've been making some moves to replace some of the players that have either left or are pending signing with other teams in free agency. The Jerry Jeudy trade was very interesting to me, kind of a high upside play for not a lot of capital that they had to give away. So where do the Browns kind of sit here as we start to look into the draft a little bit deeper after the first wave of free agency?
I think defensive line is still a spot they could address. Obviously, they spent decent money on it last year, bringing in the former Minnesota defensive tackle last offseason, obviously bringing back Shelby Harris this year. They could afford to add a little bit of depth. If they're looking for a guy on day two, Jerzon Newton is a guy that his stock has fluctuated a little bit just because of the size concerns, length concerns. What is his projection in the NFL? He's not necessarily an ideal fit in any one scheme, but he's got a lot of talent. Cleveland would be an ideal spot for him to land and be able to sit and develop, maybe add a little bit more weight and become a true three technique in their defense. That's a landing spot for him. I think that if you're looking at other needs across the board, I would say they've lost some of their depth on the offensive line. I would say that's a spot where they could afford to add a little bit there in the middle rounds. One guy that's rising up on boards at center, at least, is Tanner Bordellini from Wisconsin. Had an outstanding combine, could be in that late third, early fourth round mix. Another guy, as if you like a developmental guard, I could see Laydon Robinson in the May the fourth or the fifth round being a really good fit for Cleveland. He's a guy who can come in, adapt to just about any scheme, but as a guy who knows how to get to the second level, he's got good feet. Plays a little bit over his feet at times. That's something that's a very fixable issue, though. Something that a lot of guys coming out of college struggle with. But he's a guy in the later rounds I think Cleveland could address. Just address some of their depth issues they have on offense. But they got the weapons now. So it's time for their quarterback to step it up and prove that he is the guy.
Yeah, adding some young pieces on the offensive and defensive lines, I think, is very important for the Browns this year. And I think that something that they will prioritize. Could you see them getting into the secondary quarterback market here in the middle portions of the draft, considering how their quarterback room has shaken out since the Deshaun Watson trade?
I don't think it's the most likely, especially considering they did bring in Jameis Winston. If they had nothing behind him, I mean, they did like Dorian Thompson-Robinson last year and what he did for them. Maybe they still think that there is maybe something if they decide to bring him back and bring him back into the fold and see if there's something there still. I don't see them being a player. I mean, really, after the top six guys going, I don't think Cleveland's is going to go after any of those guys. Spencer Rattler is the only other name that could go on day two. After that, you're looking at a bunch of day three guys that are just shots in the dark. So I would say Cleveland is most likely not going to address it before maybe the fifth round. I don't think they address it before round five. So you're talking maybe a guy like a Michael Pratt, if he's still there, would be a nice depth signing. Could really push Jameis Winston in that number two role if he impresses in camp. There's a few guys, but I would say if you look in the early rounds, the positions we mentioned, I wouldn't even rule out the idea of a safety they could afford to add depth in the secondary. Tyler Newbin, Cameron Kitchens are two guys that I could see them showing some interest in.
I think also the Browns actually did sign a third quarterback in Tyler Huntley on Sunday as well. So they do have him in the fold behind Jameis Winston and Deshaun Watson. I think that is a very solid signing for the Cleveland Browns, a good player to have in your quarterback room. Honestly, he could be the QB2 by the end of the offseason program.
The QB1 if Watson doesn't turn things around.
That's very true. A very PJ Walker type player, maybe with a little bit more running type ability. Okay, the Browns, they do look like a team that will look to compete again in 2024 with a good draft and a good offseason. They're on their way right now. Let's move on to the Pittsburgh Steelers. We know about the Pittsburgh Steelers because we're Pittsburgh Steeler fans, if you follow Andrew Wilmer and I closely. But we are looking at a team here in Pittsburgh that has undergone a ton of changes, especially at the quarterback position. They've made some moves on defense as well. Patrick Queen was the big free agency signing for the Steelers, pulling him away from rival Baltimore on a three-year, $41 million deal, also adding quarterbacks Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. And then on defense, you got cornerback Dante Jackson, acquired in a trade of Deontay Johnson, wide receiver Deontay Johnson to the Panthers. And then Deshaun Elliott signing a two-year, $6 million deal to play strong safety for the Steelers as well. They've still got a lot of needs, a lot of directions that they could go. But Andrew, where do the Steelers kind of where do they look to improve early in the NFL draft?
Starts with the offensive line. If you're bringing in these quarterbacks, one of which is 35 going on 36 years old, better make sure you do something to protect him. I know that wasn't something he had a whole lot in Seattle, but he was the most sacked quarterback in the NFL last season, both he and Justin Fields. So regardless of who's the quarterback, the Steelers have to do a better job of protecting the quarterback. I'm doing a better job with that. I'm looking at right tackle and center. Steelers have no one at center as of the time of this recording. So I'm imagining the Steelers are going to bring in someone. If they bring in a guy like Brian Allen, who has starting experience, I think he'd be a good fit. In Pittsburgh, maybe the need for center isn't quite as high. But as of today, Steelers have to add someone at center. So you'd think if the draft was today, the Steelers are probably taking a center in the first round. I think right tackle, if for some reason Talisa Fuaga or Amarius Mims fall to pick 20, both those guys would really improve the Steelers' running game. We know the Steelers want to run the football under Arthur Smith. I think either of those guys would be great fits, especially if Fuaga is a little bit more advanced in his game, a little bit more ready. I think when you're looking at Mims' game, a little bit more raw, but just considering what the Steelers had last year in Takumo Okorafor and Dan Moore Jr., if he attempts to play on the right side, I think the Steelers would already have an upgrade regardless of which player they went with, and then maybe address center on day two.
What are some other positions that might be in play in round one if maybe some of the tackles aren't there and the center position, they're not quite ready to address that?
I wouldn't rule out corner. As you know, the Steelers brought in Dante Jackson, but he's not a sure thing. He's had a share of injuries, and he's not getting any younger either. There's some concerns about his tackling ability in the open field. I think the Steelers are definitely going to add someone at some point at corner. Wide receiver is a position that's gained a lot of looks because George Pickens is the guy in the room and there's not really anybody else as a number two. I anticipate the Steelers bringing in a free agent. I know you do as well, Jeremy, at some point. We just don't know when. But when you look at Arthur Smith's offense, we've talked about this on other shows for the Steelers, for the Steel Curtain Network, and Arthur Smith's offense, it's about one receiver. In Tennessee, it was about A.J. Brown, and then who cares who the number two receiver is? Julio Jones had one or two good weeks. Khalif Raymond had one or two good weeks. Nick Westbrook-Akeem may have had one good week. They didn't have a true number two receiver. That's what his receiver rooms were primarily comprised of. They had the phase before they got before the A.J. Brown development, you had a guy like Corey Davis, but they never had stacked wide receiver rooms. So there's no guarantee the Steelers prioritize wide receiver in Arthur Smith's offense like the Steelers have in the past. I do think it is on their radar, and I do think it is something they will address at some point, but not something that needs to necessarily be addressed round one. There are talks about Roma Dunze, though, if the Steelers decide to trade up for someone. So that will be something to watch as we get closer to the draft.
The Steelers will be one of the more interesting teams, and not just saying this as a Steelers fan, but to watch as far as climbing up or dropping back down in that first round. They're going to have probably ammunition to do either one, whether that is, you know, trade assets to go up and get a player that they really like, or they might have motivation to trade back and collect some more picks because of the needs across the board for the Steelers. And it's a team that looks to go all in behind Russell Wilson in 2024. When do the Steelers get in the quarterback market potentially in the draft, do you think?
Potentially on day three. I think Carson Wentz is a guy that the team could still bring in. They have ties to him. Obviously, they have ties to Ryan Tannehill as well. I don't see that necessarily happening now as a third veteran quarterback. I don't see that happening at this point. But Carson Wentz is a guy that could be in play. There's other options outside of the draft. If they do bring someone in, maybe a guy like Devin Leary could make sense as a sixth, seventh round pick. Maybe one of these guys happen to fall through the cracks, go to undrafted free agency. Keaton Slovis is a guy that I know the Steelers are familiar with, has spent time in the area. The Steelers will have options in the later rounds. It's just, do you want to reach for a guy who may deserve to go undrafted, but just because of the amount of quarterbacks that played this past year, maybe we take a chance on one just to secure the guy we may have a higher grade on. Maybe the Steelers do that in the seventh round, but I don't see a need for the Steelers to add anyone major at the position because you have two bona fide quarterbacks on this roster now. Once you get to QB3 at that point, it's like season's probably a wash anyways. I hate to have that perspective, but that's just me.
Absolutely. All right, let's go to the final team in the division. They placed last in 2023, surprisingly, but it wasn't a surprise if you watched the games because they did miss their superstar quarterback for a good chunk of the season with Joe Burrow going down to injury. The Bengals have been busy, though. They've improved their roster overall, I think, already through free agency. Tagging T. Higgins was a big step. I think they're looking for a tag and trade there, so he's probably not in the team's plans for 2024, though he is still there currently. Geno Stone signs a two-year, $15 million deal with the Bengals, and then they bring in running back Zach Moss to replace the traded Joe Mixon, who they sent off to the Texans. Mike Gesicki, tight end, signs a one-year deal. Drew Sample comes back to Cincinnati on a three-year deal. And then they did make some moves along the offensive and defensive lines. Sheldon Rankins comes in at defensive tackle. You've got Von Bell coming in at safety. So a lot of moves being made here. Very interesting to see three tight ends signed by the Bengals, who needed tight ends in the worst way in 2023. They're trying to solidify that room for sure. Which way do the Bengals go early in the draft in 2024?
I've got to think they're one of those teams looking at offensive tackle after losing Jonah Williams, was already a suspect position in some instances. The Bengals, I know the Joe Burrow injury was not because of the offensive line per se, but they can't afford to risk injury with Joe Burrow because of the offensive line going forward. They have to get an offensive tackle. One of these guys in the early rounds, Amarius Mims, is a guy that makes sense in that area. We mentioned Fuaga. Another guy that I think could be in play is Olufashinu, I believe is the way that they are pronouncing his name. Olufashinu, guy who I thought could be a top 10 pick, but has small hands, which is a weird thing to talk about when you're talking about offensive linemen, but the grip and just the ability, the power in the hands, I guess it matters to NFL teams because his stock seems to be dropping. He is a little bit raw, but he wasn't so raw that the issues caused him problems at college. He was nearly flawless in pass protection. And there are things in this game that are going to need to improve some technical difficulties, but I believe he is capable of cleaning those things up at a very, very short period of time. I would argue he still has make the case for being maybe the number two offensive tackle in this class, but he could fall because of some of those mechanical issues and maybe not pro ready. I think the Bengals could cash in on a guy like that. Can play left tackle. Ideal fit is at left tackle, but I think he is capable of moving to the right side as well.
Yeah, very true. They've got a lot of ways they could go. Honestly, I think that cornerback could be in play early for them as well. They've got DJ Turner right? Coming back for a year, yep, or a year two after spending a second round pick on him last year. But you lose Jadobe Awuzie. You've got some openings there. Do you think they could go corner in round one, or are you thinking that's more of a day two type selection for the Bengals?
I'm thinking it's more of a day two. They could even push to day three just because there's so many names that are still out there on the open market. I could see Cincinnati pursuing a veteran, much like we talked about with the Steelers and other teams that have another rookie quarterback that or cornerback that is set in stone as the number one guy. DJ Turner was fantastic last year. Absolutely fantastic. But they've got to have someone else to pair with them. I think day two would be the spot to potentially get someone. Ideally, you'd like someone with a little bit more size than Turner, so you don't have two undersized corners. If they go May round two, TJ Tampa is a guy I would keep an eye on as potential fit. If you're going into a little bit later, a guy like Josh Newton, Drew Phillips from Kentucky is a guy in round three, I think could be an ideal fit for Cincinnati. Those are the types of guys I would be looking at for their specific scheme. At pick 19, if Quinny Mitchell happened to fall or in that range where the Bengals are picking, I don't think that happens. Tarion Arnold may fall that far. That's a good value. But I think Cincinnati knows that they have to protect Joe Burrow. That's why I think they go tackle round one. But like you said, corner is a position they need to address. I would also argue that they could still afford to add a little bit more along the interior of both the offensive and defensive line.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. The Bengals will be interesting because they've got a big asset in Joe Burrow that they've got to keep clean. They've got to have young playmakers around him because of his contract. They're going to be a team to watch in the draft for sure. All right, hey, that was our deep dive into the teams of the AFC North. The Baltimore Ravens, Cleveland Browns, Pittsburgh Steelers, and Cincinnati Bengals, they're all going to look to be on top of that division in 2024 with legit aspirations for the playoffs. It's going to be an arms race in the AFC North. We'll see how that plays out. That was our deep dive here on the NFL draft preview show here on FFSN. Stay tuned. We're going to come back with another episode of this, breaking down the NFC North. And then next week, we will move on to the AFC and NFC East divisions. So stay tuned to the FFSN NFL preview for this show and others as we approach the draft.